You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. You're listening to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for subscribing on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Himalaya. My name is David Ramil. Chris Middleton hasn't played basketball in over 3 months, and Victor Oladipo won't be playing basketball in Orlando at all. I'll talk about the latest news around the league later on the show, but the news that means the most to Miami is the news that not one, but two Heat players have tested positively for the COVID-19 virus over the last few days. The names haven't been released. People have their ideas. No one's talking about it from the media perspective, and no one should. And the team hasn't released their names. And again, that's probably the way it should be happening. A Heat staffer, possibly a coach, trainer, equipment manager, I won't say who, has also tested positively. But the end result is that because of the positive testing, as players were going through mandatory individual workouts, meaning they all had access to an individual gym, one coach per one player, wearing gloves and masks, no scrimmages or, you know, two-on-two sessions or anything like that, those have been suspended, and cleaning has been undergone at each of the American Airlines practice facilities. So those facilities are shut down. And in addition to that, look, the Milwaukee Bucks, just a few hours before recording this, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, those have been shut down as well because of positive tests. The Denver Nuggets have done so, the Sacramento Kings. Other teams have shown positive tests over the last few days, weeks, since workouts began. The Heat just won't have the luxury of being able to go to American Airlines Arena for individual mandatory workouts. They'll just have to continue doing whatever work they were doing prior to those workouts and prior to that facility being opened up. They'll have to continue using those baskets that Jimmy Butler provided for his team a few months ago, even though from what we've understood from players, it's not so easy to set those up, and not everybody has the ability to set those up if they're living in a condo or some kind of facility that doesn't necessarily allow for you to set up a hoop. Whatever. It's kind of tough to put this in perspective. Things seem to be going well. And I just, from my perspective, you know, we've spent the last couple of days being on Zoom calls with players. Everybody was engaged. Everybody seemed ready. The consistent theme here, if you recall my last podcast, was that players were focused on winning a championship, making the main thing, as Eric Spoelstra said during his Zoom conference call. And the players seemed, again, ready to focus on a championship, ready to focus on making a deep run in the playoffs. They didn't have the same kind of concerns about Orlando that other people have espoused. But now, I wonder if that positivity has been dashed a little bit. It just don't seem like, you know, you can't necessarily just focus on what the you can do as a team when, you know, you have these constant health risks there cropping up. There are rules in place about testing and passing those tests in order to be allowed in the bubble. Right now, what it seems like is the Heat will travel to Orlando in a group on July 8th. That's Wednesday of later this week. I think the players that tested positively will not be allowed to travel with a team. They'll have to show that they can pass a positive test, not once, not twice, perhaps even a third time, depending on certain rules. I'm not sure. It depends on the method of travel. Right now, players will be traveling by bus to Orlando. I'm not sure if it's a certain number of players per bus or what the situation is. It's a very confusing. We're not getting a whole heck of a lot of information, and I think this kind of changes every day. So I'll be honest with you. I haven't really even looked into it that much because none of that seems stable, and I don't also think that it really matters much because it continues to change, and what you have as far as an idea of what's going to happen from one day to the next seems to, again, change based on new information, new rules, new ways of understanding things, or in this case, unforeseen circumstances such as a player testing positively. So while you could have been very, very optimistic about the Heat's chances just a week ago when they resumed those mandatory workouts, now all of a sudden some of that positivity, optimism has been squashed. So I don't know exactly what to think about it or make of it. It's on the surface, I don't know that it's a huge blow to Miami's title chances. I think the league kind of always planned on this being the case. If you think about it, they had to have known that players would continue to test positively as they resumed workouts. And still, that was the plan. That is just they counted on those things happening, on those tests being, you know, resulting in positive tests. And then they just hoped that those numbers would be low enough to continue moving forward, and that the plan to resume the season in the Orlando bubble would at least be somewhat, remain somewhat, you know, it can keep its integrity somewhat. If you look at it from this perspective, that, you know, they always knew that you were going to have positive tests, and that, you know, even now as you're having these mandatory workouts, as safe as they've been, you're still out in the public, you're still out to, you're capable of engaging with other people at restaurants, with family members, through family members. If a family member contracts it and then remains asymptomatic, you might wind up staying in contact with them and still contracting the virus. It's absolutely possible. And so the bubble might, if you view it through this particular lens, while it's largely viewed as a dangerous hotbed for the virus, given how players have continued to contract it anyway, it might actually be safer than the outside world, the quote-unquote outside world. So I think that was part of the plan. Maybe that's just a selling point from Adam Silver and league officials, but maybe it's something they also earnestly believe, is that we're trying to do our best to keep players safe, and that's why we're keeping him here, not just to keep the outside world from impacting them, but to keep them from, you know, endangering themselves the way, realistically, almost all of us have. You know, I like to think that I'm probably on the more cautious side. I go out in public. I see people at parks. I see people in restaurants and on the street. And it's not just about not wearing masks, but they seem to be doing all sorts of things that could probably lead to increased risk of contamination. So I don't doubt that Heat players have probably been doing the same thing. You know, Kelly Olynyk spoke on Friday from his Zoom conference call, and I asked him about, you know, watching what he eats and things of this sort. And he talked about not ordering as much from restaurants. He's a big eater, a big foodie, and he's just concentrated on cooking and, you know, has been making his food at home and things of that sort. His family's from, you know, obviously Kamloops, Canada, and so he hasn't been interacting with them, and he's been probably on the safer side of the equation. I think we'll continue to see more and more players test positively over the next few days, few weeks, even once the season resumes. And it's about kind of just trying to avoid it as much as possible. The Heat are going to continue to move forward. Their goal by signing up, by bringing all 17 players, by all 17 players saying they want to travel to Orlando, they're going to do whatever is necessary to continue to strive for a championship. That's just the goal. It always has been within this organization, or at least over the last 25 years since Pat Riley took over. And they're going to continue to work towards that. I think, you know, again, everybody that was on Zoom calls over the last few days, Kelly Olynyk, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Goran Dragic, their focus has been on testing, I mean, not just testing positively, but testing negatively, rather, avoiding the COVID-19 virus, continuing to work and to compete at a high level. I think that's still the overall goal. I don't think that's changed any. I think from the league perspective, it's, you know, trying to minimize the risks as much as possible, hence the bubble. They're going to do everything they can as far as security is concerned to ensure that fans and limited media members won't have access to players and things of that sort. They're going to continue to test and test regularly. It might be about which team can remain mostly healthy to reach the finish line. There doesn't seem to be any chance that at least one player on every team will test positively at some point while in the bubble. Reaching that finish line as healthy as possible might ultimately decide the championship, especially if star players are taken out of the playoff equation. We can only hope that somebody like Jimmy, or anybody on this team, really, but you know, specifically somebody like Jimmy, doesn't test positively, because that would derail Miami's chances completely. But conversely, and I don't wish this on anybody, you know, you hope that Giannis Antetokounmpo, if he were to contract it, that would absolutely end Milwaukee's hopes of a championship. But you see, I mean, they'll look, even if they test positively, and as long as they remain asymptomatic, which is again the best case scenario, they'll still have to be quarantined for a period of time. They'll still have to make sure that they pass tests and don't recontract the virus or infect anybody else, and that's always going to be a concern. So we'll have to see how it plays out once the bubble, you know, resumes and once it starts in a few weeks. As for the Heat and the players that just tested positively, I'll add my two cents about their identities, because I think a lot of people seem to be interested in that. You know, whether it's Bam, whether it's Tyler, whether it's somebody else. And I haven't asked anyone in the organization. Frankly, I don't think it's my place to ask. I confirm that the two players had tested positively and left it at that. I don't really care to know about those players. I mean, from a perspective of a media member covering this team, is it an issue? Yes or no? If they test positively, remain asymptomatic, and don't develop any kind of long-term effects, which hopefully is the case, then it doesn't really matter. That's part of their medical background, and that doesn't seem to be anybody's purview. We don't need to know that kind of information. We're concerned and desperate for these kinds of news on a daily basis, and in a way that's kind of become somewhat creepy. Like, it's one thing for, you know, players to reveal this information, but for us to dig into it without players' consent, that's a violation. Not just a HIPAA national violation, but also a violation of their privacy, their right as human beings to protect that kind of information. I support the team's decision to withhold that information, especially if the players don't want to publicize. It's not anyone's business, and I don't think it should be. If it's been publicized in the past, just as it was by Derek Jones Jr., that was probably a mistake, unless the player or his agent specifically wanted that information leaked. And that could have been for any number of reasons. For Derek, maybe it was a way of letting everybody know that he was very much engaged and still available for you know, future free agency and things of that sort, and that he had just tested positively. It's a way of coming clean, not trying to hide anything. Either way, every player is going to be sending their medical records to Orlando, to the league offices, to make sure that they check. So that information is going to be available. Maybe somebody like Woj or Shams Charania of The Athletic are going to dig a little deeper and find this information out. I can't stop them. I know that the team has done everything they can to keep this information under wraps. Again, I could find out. I don't really care to. And if you have a difference of opinion, I'm curious to hear what it would be, but I don't know why any of us on the outside, even media members like myself, have any right to that information or need to know it. It doesn't change how we cover the team. We could say that Bam Adebayo has tested positively, and if that's the case, so what? All the best wishes to Bam, just as we wished nothing but continued health for Derek Jones Jr., his family, and everything else. I mean, it doesn't really matter who contracts the virus. As far as I'm concerned, the reality is that they're going to be having to quarantine anyway. Players are. Whether it's they tested positively or not, they're going to have to continue to test and show, you know, that they are free of the COVID virus. And so it's not going to change how the team moves forward. I don't think they're going to sign anybody over the next few days before they go up to Orlando. So stay tuned. As always, I'll try and provide the latest information and get into any kind of details as need be. But as far as players' names and things of that sort, not my need to know, and I don't think it's your need to know either, so I won't get into it. The schedule is out for Miami's upcoming scrimmage games, plus what Victor Oladipo's absence in Orlando means for the Heat. That's up in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Who doesn't want to save money in today's environment, especially with our economy facing so many challenges from outside? It's important for all of us to try and save money whenever possible, and that's why a company like rockauto.com can absolutely help you. If you go to an auto parts shop, chances are they're going to offer different prices, or they'll have different price tiers for professional mechanics or do-it-yourselfers like yourself. But rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. They offer the lowest prices possible rather than changing their prices for, you know, depending on what the market will bear, like certain airlines will do. For rockauto.com, a company that's been in business for 20 years online, providing the convenient self-service, their prices, you can count on them being incredibly low. I've used them before. Really easy to navigate website. You go find the part you're looking for, you'll get it shipped within days. Next thing you know, you'll be saving yourself $100. It's so much easier than going to an auto parts shop. If you can just take the time and you want to save some money, rockauto.com is the place for you. You just go to their website, you look again for their parts that you're looking for your car or truck. It's very easy to navigate. Again, super low prices. And when you go and ship out, when you go and order your parts, make sure you go to a section that says, "How did you hear about this?" and enter "Locked On" there so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. Debut a new segment later on the show, but first some news out of Indiana, where future Heat swingman Victor Oladipo has decided to sit out the NBA season, resuming in Orlando, as told by The Athletic's Shams Charania. This is a quote from Victor: "I really want to play, and as a competitor and teammate, this is tearing me apart. I feel like I'm in a great place in my rehab and getting closer and closer to 100%. But with all the variables, from how I have to build my 5-on-5 workout workload back up to the increased risk of a soft tissue injury, which could delay my rehab, and the unknown exact setup of the bubble, I just can't get my mind to being fully comfortable in playing. I have to be smart, and this decision hasn't been easy. But I truly believe continuing on the course I'm on and getting fully healthy for the 2020-21 season is the right decision for me. So there you have it. Oladipo sitting out the Orlando bubble, although he'll be traveling with the team and standing alongside his teammates there. So there is still the possibility, and I hate to even think about this, that he could contract the virus while he's there, regardless. He's from Orlando, obviously. We're not from Orlando, but he's spent time there earlier in his career. That seems like an eternity ago when he was a member of the Orlando Magic. But he's familiar, obviously, with the Orlando area. He probably has a home that he maintains there. I don't know that for certain. You know, he was traded, and it seems like a long time ago, again, 3 years ago when he was traded from Orlando to Oklahoma City, and he's spent the last couple seasons with the Pacers after just 1 year with the Thunder. But either way, for Oladipo, seems like he's moving forward, and it's a good decision for him. What does it mean for the Pacers? Not much, really. Their chances are lowered as far as making any kind of impact in the playoffs. But he only played 13 games this past season, and at that, just 25 minutes per game. He was obviously not himself, lacking a lot of that kind of physical explosiveness that he had shown earlier in his Pacers days and throughout his whole career, really. He shot 39% overall and 30% from three-point range, so not particularly sharp. He had a couple big games, if I recall correctly, but overall pretty much struggled from the field and lacked a lot of that same kind of familiarity, tempo, everything else. He was a step slower, and he just needs to get back to 100% or as close as he's going to get. The team is already without Jeremy Lamb due to a torn ACL injury. He's out for the season, and he's not likely to resume playing with the team in Orlando. Malcolm Brogdon, unfortunately, also tested positive for COVID-19, although he's expected to make a full recovery and participate in Orlando. The Pacers are currently fifth in the Eastern Conference, two games back of Miami and tied with the Philadelphia 76ers. So that should be an interesting one as far as their race and the playoffs and everything else. They're likely to continue making the playoffs just because, well, that's just how this team is built. They still have Domantas Sabonis. They still have Brogdon. They have TJ Warren, I suppose. As far as what it means for the Heat in the short term, Miami plays Indiana twice during the 8-game regular season. So those are two games that all of a sudden became significantly easier for the Heat to win without Oladipo, although Oladipo at, 70-80%, whatever he was during this past season before the hiatus, probably would have helped Miami in some regards. The Pacers have a knack for dealing with injury and finding a way to keep afloat, but even still, they'll likely drop out of the fifth spot in the Eastern Conference, which means that the Sixers could likely move up to fifth. And if Miami stays at fourth in the East, a first-round matchup against the Sixers is likely. Now, there's also the chance that Miami's odds of moving up have improved given those two regular season matchups. They could theoretically rise up to third, although they are two and a half games specifically behind the Boston Celtics currently in the third seed. Not much more else that you can say about the Oladipo decision. As far as Miami's concerned, they're going to be facing a gritty Pacers team that's pretty much been used to playing without Depot all season long. I don't think it necessarily changes anything as far as how the Pacers moves forward and as far as their coaching staff and their decision-making policies. I mean, they're going to continue fighting, and Sabonis is still a solid player. They Miles Turner's still there. They always find a way to play above their weight class, and so I imagine them to continue to challenge teams and things of that sort, and we'll see what happens as far as their respective seasons is concerned. They'll likely drop to at least the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. They might lose a number of games in Orlando given their injury situation and all the unknown factors that are taking place there. As far as Miami, again, they're going to face the Philadelphia 76ers potentially, and that could be a tough matchup. In a recent podcast, Zach Lowe of ESPN still believes that the Sixers are a better team than the Heat, despite the disparity in the regular season and in their overall records this season. So I guess if you have to look at the top tier talent in Philadelphia, you could argue it's better than Miami's, but their fit has been worse. They haven't had the same kind of chemistry Miami's had, and they still haven't had the fine shooting that Miami has either. You know, Miami's been such a great offensive team, even though their defense has struggled. Philadelphia, conversely, has a very, very good defense with high upside defensively, and, you know, their shooting has been inconsistent given everything that's happened to their starting lineup and with Ben Simmons' own struggles from the line and things of that sort. But either way, it's also the right move for Oladipo. Let me just put that out there. Indiana is not a legit title contender, although they are a solid team that could challenge in the East. But for Oladipo, his health is the priority, and it should be. I think it also kind of promotes continued concerns about his health, though, and that's unfortunate because he has had issues throughout his career, even back to his days when he was, you know, a very young player in Orlando. He struggled. Great piece written by my former co-host Wes Goldberg, where he talked to David Alexander of DBC Fitness about Oladipo and his training regimen and the things that he had done to kind of improve his core, which was where he was weakest. That was what had led to a number of issues, I think, regarding his back. He also had hip issues, and he wasn't as explosive. They really focused using their very specific training and evaluation. They were able to find out where his weak points were. They focused on those, got him to work on those, and then he wound up having his best season as a pro his first year in Indiana. Then he veered away from that, you know, fitness training, and then he got hurt, and so lots of things have happened. And I wonder what Oladipo's future is moving forward, whether it is in Indiana or elsewhere. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of teams, including Miami, who are going to view him as a potential risk. Although he is a very, very good player, I would think that your focus would probably be likely Washington, that unless you can't pry away Bradley Beal for whatever reason, Victor isn't really an option. I think you have to, as much as I think that there's interest in Oladipo even before his injury, I'm not sure how much interest there is now, and I wouldn't say that, you know, continuing, if he continues to show I don't want to say injury-prone nature, but if he continues to show that he might not ever return to 100%, I don't know why you'd want to invest in him fully for your future. He may not ever become the franchise cornerstone that he is capable of being, or that he showed that he was in that 1 year in Indiana. Again, Bradley Beal, still a better option, younger, healthier overall, and probably better. Better at least in Miami as far as overall fit is concerned. I think Oladipo's defense is a little bit higher, and Beal's playmaking is probably at a par, but Beal's a better shooter, and again, so that makes him a better fit in Miami. You've already got enough defense and playmaking and versatility. You can just rely on somebody who is a bucket, a scorer, and Beal certainly fits that mold. But, you know, it's unfortunate. I would have liked to have seen what Oladipo could do in this playoff setting, just from a fan perspective, just from somebody who likes to watch high-end basketball. I'm not sure that – I think Pacers fans largely are kind of just resigned to his absence. They know that it's a bigger risk for him to take, and one that's not necessary. And so I think it's, again, the right decision for Oladipo, and hopefully he'll continue to get healthy. And we'll see what it means for Miami's chances in the future and in the playoffs. A new segment debating the latest news on the NBA is next. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Make sure to listen to, subscribe, and leave a review whenever possible on your favorite app to listen to podcasts, and that you always make sure you get the latest episode by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat when you get in your car and get your team every day. Chris Middleton made some news recently when, again, during the Milwaukee Bucks' most recent Zoom conference calls, things that teams have been doing around the league, he mentioned that he hadn't picked up a basketball in the longest he'd ever gone throughout his whole life, really, about 3.5 months since the hiatus began in mid-March. And I just think it's worth kind of talking about because he seemed like he was blasted by everybody. Some national media members really took to, you know, wanting to insult Middleton and why he would make this decision, why he would, you know, publicly post this. A lot of casual people that are probably not particularly bright just assumed that he could get to any basketball court and continue to, put baskets up, put shots up, and at least stay in somewhat, connected to basketball. That has not been the case. And we can't make that kind of decision for everybody as far as, you know, what they have access to. We can't, suppose what their conditions are, what they'll have access to. We assume that as NBA players that they're, you know, incredibly rich, that they have full home court basketball, courts installed in their houses, things of that sort. Nothing could be further from the truth. Look, I don't know what it is that fans think as far as players are concerned. They see the numbers, the astronomical figures associated with contracts, and assume that that's what they're making. I don't know where these people come from as far as where they make their money, but that's not how it works at any level, and it's certainly not how it works at the NBA level. I'll break it down again as I have before. Let's say you're making a $5 million a year contract. That sounds like a lot of money. Great. By the time you actually take home your pay after taxes and everything else, that's probably closer to 2.5. Still a phenomenal amount of money. I'd love to make that per year. But you're also paying your agent about 10% at the very least. You're also paying your manager. You're also paying your financial advisor. You're also paying probably a PR person or somebody else that you're associated with some amount of money to kind of manage things, work out specific issues or a lawyer or somebody along those lines that could look over contracts or get you endorsements, things of that sort. Either way, assuming that you get any kind of major endorsements, but all that chips into that. So from that $2.5 million that was take home, it's probably a lot less than that now. I would say probably closer to 1.5. Then you're talking about having to spend money for, your place, your clothes, your jewelry, any luxuries you might have. If you have a family, if you have people that are depending on money who are asking you for it, as you know that they are, they're going to be asking for a little handout here, $10,000 there, $5,000 here. That adds up. I'll always remember a friend of mine telling me that his sister was trying to save money, but yet she went to Starbucks every day. And I said, that's $4 a day, $5 a day on a cheap drink at that. You could probably spend a lot more. I mean, she was spending close to $300 a month on that stuff alone. And, that's where it adds up too for NBA players. $5,000 here, $5,000 there, that adds up. And next thing you know, that $2.5 million is probably a lot less than that. So it's not worth really getting into too much, but the reality is that for Middleton, I think if he didn't have access to a basketball court, and I see no reason why he would lie about that sort of thing, I don't see why we're giving him a hard time about it. A lot of players went through that. I would say probably 75% of NBA players didn't have access to a basketball court. They probably didn't pick up a basketball during that time. What the fuck did you expect them to do? They don't have that kind of luxury. I mean, not all of them could be Mike Conley Jr. with a basketball court in their home. I'm sure LeBron James had one, but even Paul Pierce, as he saw during that god-awful horse program that they had on ESPN a few weeks ago, he made a lot of money during the course of his NBA career, and he has an outdoor basketball court on his property, and that's about it. It's not like you have the perfect conditions for all this, and it's not like you can go out to your local park if you're trying to avoid, getting infected or anything like that. So, I mean, let's lay off Middleton and any other player that may not have had access to it. You try to do your best. You try to do whatever you can at home to stay in shape. There's a good chance that players are going to get rusty anyway once they start practicing in Orlando. It doesn't really matter. A scrimmage schedule has been posted for the Miami Heat. They'll play the Sacramento Kings on July 22nd. They're going to be without a number of players, or at least some players who have contracted the COVID-19 virus. The Jazz will be on July 25th. That'll be the second game. And then the Grizzlies will take on Miami on July 28th. From what we've seen as far as images from Orlando, they've already put the Heat's court out there. I think these are the scrimmage courts that the teams will be using. These are being set up. I talked to Keith Smith, who had obviously worked at Disney World, and he had been on this podcast a few weeks ago. I asked him about the images that we've seen as far as the courts and where they're being set up. They're being installed in the largest conference rooms of the resorts in which the Heat will be staying, and the other NBA teams will be staying as well. So as far as the Grizzlies matchup, I'll also add that Justice Winslow has been tweeting about, he posted a tweet about a circle, and I know we're at a very low point in human history here for many, many other reasons, but the fact that we've all taken such great care to talk about Justice Winslow's tweet and debate whether or not he should post it, whether or not it seems petty, whether or not it seems stupid, he can say whatever the hell he wants to. He did not end on good terms with the team, unfortunately. I think he was mostly happy here, but he had gone through so many changes over the course of his NBA career, as limited as it's been, and he's also faced so many injuries, and as he's talked about publicly, you know, he's had issues with depression as far as his role, about his career, about his lingering sense of self-doubt. All those things are impactful, and I think the Heat probably just grew a little, I don't know about bored, maybe not tired necessarily either, but just they didn't want to continue to deal with Justice. And so they made a good decision for both of them, I think. They moved on. They got a veteran player in Andre Iguodala and also a couple more in Solomon Hill and Jay Crowder. They also were able to get Justice onto a team with young players that are probably better in his window as far as you know, his overall career path and goals of that sort. So I think that team probably fits better with what Justice is able to. I like Justice personally. I don't know he's necessarily the best to talk to from a media perspective, although he's somewhat always interesting. But, you know, I think we're making much ado about nothing as far as his tweet is concerned. If he wants to circle, if he wants to match up against the Heat, if he's healthy enough to play, go for it. Hopefully he shows out. Hopefully he does the best he can. It doesn't really matter. It's a pointless scrimmage. It's just an opportunity to kind of get in shape, to kind of rekindle some of those competitive juices. So we'll see what happens. And we'll see if Justice is able to be, again, healthy enough to make an impact for the Grizzlies. The league also approved a list of messages that players could wear on their jerseys. You've probably seen the news about it before as far as what kind of messages you can do. Nothing against the police, unfortunately. Nothing against other organizations. It's going to be somewhat neutered, I think, as far as what you could put on your jersey. You're going to have a limited amount of space. I don't know. I like that they're using this as an opportunity to put a message out there publicly. I also have been pretty consistent in saying that I don't think it's much of a message, that I think it's not nearly as impactful as it should be or as it appears to be. I don't really have much of a take on it. This is also it's a thing that's happening. I still think largely most of the season resuming has been about trying to rekindle as much money as possible. I don't think there's any mistaking that. And I also think that players have the right to decide whether or not they want to participate in. They seem like they are consistently pretty well aware of the challenge, the difficulty of the decision. And at the same time, they've moved forward with it one way or the other. A tweet from the Bleacher Report also kind of looked at Jimmy Butler and brought up again that he worked out at 3:30 a.m. the first time that he was there for a Heat workout. Sixers fans took to task. I am so sick of the Sixers and their fans. Like, I don't like Joel Embiid. Even if he joins the Heat, I don't know if I could possibly like him. Something about him rubs me the wrong way, but their fans are just as annoying as possible. They're so sour about Jimmy Butler just choosing to leave their team, and I don't know why. I mean, their team is still pretty good. They got a great player in Richardson and Al Horford, two really solid locker room guys. I'm not sure what their issue is with Jimmy, whether they hated him, whether they think he's a betrayer of some kind, a traitor of some kind. I don't know. They're just so annoying, and I am so sick of hearing about this. But the tweet from Bleacher just further propelled them and added fuel to fires that I had thought had died down a while ago. But just absolutely ridiculous. Who cares? For Jimmy, look, I one of the thing of him showing up at 3:30 a.m., one is because he probably can't sleep much. He was probably really, really nervous about it and just excited more than anything else. Not nervous in a negative way, but just like he wanted to get out there. He wanted to work. He is a hard worker. Get used to it. That's been the reality throughout his whole NBA and even his collegiate career. I don't see what the issue is that. Does it seem kind of obnoxious for him to be there at 3:30? Maybe. Who cares? Like, it really doesn't seem to matter. Maybe I'm just on the minority here, but these things don't really bother me as much as I see other people being affected by them, particularly fans of other fan bases. But either way, it is just absolutely ridiculous. Let the man live a little bit. He shows up at 3:30. It happened a year ago. Both teams have moved on. I think the fans should too. And lastly, if you'll indulge me a minute here, I don't usually get into this, but I saw a recent review posted on iTunes, and I've asked pretty consistently for everybody to get back to me somehow, either via DM or via email or via my iPhone. iTunes review. And Leo Max Powell took to iTunes to leave the following review: "Used to love the podcast. This guy became so terrible after the lockdown. He is scared of his own shadow. I can't listen to this podcast anymore. Terrible grow a pair, dude. So that last sentence there, just the grammar is horrible there. It's a, I, you know, iTunes review. So what can you possibly do? Not much space there, but I gotta be honest with Leo Max Paul here and anybody else that feels that way. What the hell are you talking about? I don't know what I'm supposed to be scared of or what you think I'm scared of or what you might think as far as, you know, my own issues regarding any kind of opinions that I espouse on this show. I voice my concerns about the health of players, the concerns about the league in general as moving forward, about the issues that are impacting all of us on a daily basis here in this country and continue to do so. If that makes me scared of my shadow, well, I'd like to be fucking petrified of my shadow rather than living like an asshole like you. So if you have an issue with it, that's fine. You can always look me up. I'll be at the American Airlines Arena covering the team just as I always am, doing a damn good job of it too. So I don't tweet about it constantly. I have a life outside of my own work covering this team. And I don't constantly talk about how good I am or my future here or what I've done lately. Some of my competitors do. That's up to them. I don't really care to continue doing it because that's just not who I am as a human being. And that's not who I am even in this business model as a podcaster. Either way, I still like to engage with fans regularly. And I've been very, very consistent in thanking everybody who has supported this show. And believe me, the support has been great, not just because of the lockdown, but throughout my tenure. It's been a season now, almost a full year of me hosting this podcast on my own, and it's been great, and I appreciate everybody that stuck with me, that has continued to listen to this show and send in suggestions, send in questions. You all are absolutely the best, and I hope that I do a very, very good job. You know, mostly, it seems like most of you seem to think so, but as for you, Leo Max Pal, I won't miss you not listening to the podcast. If you used to love it, that's great. I'm not sure what I've done differently since March 11th. I don't really think I've done anything differently, but you're entitled to your opinion no matter how shitty it might be. Just a reminder that you can always reach me online, as I mentioned before, at LockedOnHeat on Twitter or using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Coming up later this week, I'll continue to monitor what's happening with the Heat as far as any additional Zoom conference calls or any news or changes to the team or their travel plans. Be sure to subscribe and follow this podcast right now on your favorite podcast app to get the latest episode of the show. I'm David Ramil signing off and thanking you as always for your support. Yeah!
Crack it up, Dean.